Broadcasting from First Assembly of God, this is First AG Podcast.
We're getting into John chapter 15, and this past Sunday we finished our series entitled Miraculous, and we were just talking and looking at the miracles of God and how God still does miracles. I believe that. I still believe that. And the great thing is just because the series has ended, it doesn't change the fact that God is still a miracle-working God. And so if you have a problem, you're a candidate for a miracle. That's what I said every Sunday of that series, and I still love that. If you have a problem, you're a candidate for a miracle, and we can trust that. So we're going to be starting a new series this morning and taking a couple of weeks, and we're going to try to look beyond the obvious about some things. And as we get into it, I hope you'll understand what I mean there. And I want to say something this morning that might sound super simple, but I'm a pretty simple guy, and I want you to hear my heart in this, and it goes like this. Don't make God so spiritual that he can't be obvious. Is that okay to say that? Don't make God so spiritual, because sometimes we do. Sometimes we think, I want to hear from God, and it's got to be parting seas or burning bushes or you know, some huge, big, miraculous sign. And what if God just wants to whisper into your heart in the middle of the night? What if God wants to do a miracle that impacts your life and the lives around you because a piece of paper fell out of a file and was stuck down at the bottom of the cabinet? Don't make God so spiritual that he can't be obvious, because sometimes we miss the obvious, and when we miss the obvious, we miss the blessing. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life, I want to bear good fruit, amen? Don't we all want to bear good fruit? And as a follower of Jesus, I think that all of us come to a point and a place in our lives that we want to mature, that we want to be more like him. And so what we do often in this process is we kind of look around our life and see what things have hindered us, what things have stopped us, what are the situations and the circumstances and the people and the fruit and these things that have kept us from being what God wants us to be. And can I first say this, that a sign of maturity is to stop making excuses. All right? A sign of immaturity is to look at your life and say, well, I know God's called me to be this, but because this went on in my life, I don't know if I can do that. Because I know God wants me to do this, but I look at my checkbook and I can't do it because of that. How many know that's not really God honoring? It's not one of those things. And I think sometimes we can be so focused in our lives, looking at why we can't. My mom used to always tell me this. She said, Wes, there are reasons and there are excuses. And what you're telling me is an excuse. And we beat excuses at our kids. How many know I knew what was coming next? You love the child. You don't, you know, yeah, my parents loved me. A lot, often. And sometimes we get so busy in our lives dealing with the fruit of things that we don't really deal with the root issues. All right, and behind my house, I have this shed. And in the fall last year, I had kind of gone outside and I looked, and literally weeds had grown up the back of it, over the roof of it, and were starting to come down the front of it. It was like this grass hand was coming up and just pulling it back into, and I said, not on my watch. And so I got my little trusty clippers, and I went out there and spent most of a day clipping stuff and pulling stuff. I pulled all the roots off. I felt so accomplished. I'm sweating. I'm dirty. I had spiders and bugs crawling all over me, but I wasn't afraid because I'm a man, all right? And I roll all this stuff up and I stick it in the trash can, and I'm feeling so good about myself. You know, I saved our shed's life, you know? And I felt very good until Monday a week ago. I'd gotten dressed, I went into our kid's bathroom, I was getting the ear thing and cleaning the ears because I want to be able to hear the Lord. And I look out the window, and you know what's coming back over the top of the barn? Vines. And I just, I'm thinking, all that work, all that everything. I put so much time into it, and I went out there, and I pulled them off, and I cut them off, and I thought I had done such a great thing, but here's the thing. I could go back out, which I did on Saturday. I could go back out, take the clippers, clip them all off at the ground level again, pull them off the root, and you know what would happen? They're just going to grow right back. And so I figured, it's a rental. I don't care. No, that's not what I said. It's not what I said. It's not what I said. So you know what I did? I clipped all the roots. I pull them all off. And then I got poison, weed killer. That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, oh. I was tough, Jeff. And sprayed all the roots, because here's the thing. If you don't kill the root, it's going to grow back and it's going to bear more fruit. And I think sometimes in our lives that we do this. As believers, we come to a place that we say, I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to be like Jesus. And so we have these honest moments. And as believers, we got to have honest moments, because it's the truth that sets you free. Amen? It's not seeing yourself the way you want to see yourself. It's seeing yourself honestly. And we look at our lives and we go, well, it's not so bad. And there's things I like, there's things that are good, and then there's some areas of my life that maybe aren't what I want. And so we spend all this time, we run over there, we pick all the fruit so it doesn't look like it's growing, we put it all, we get rid of it, we throw it away, and we go, whoo, there, that's better, I feel more mature. But if you don't deal with the root of the issue, how many know the fruit's just going to grow right back? You can come to an altar and say, God, I lay this thing down. It's yours. I don't want it. I'm going to cut it out of my life, God. And for a couple of weeks, you do great. But all of a sudden, bit by bit, all of a sudden, you start thinking about that thing. And then all of a sudden, you start dwelling on that thing. And all of a sudden, you're back doing that thing. Because if you don't kill the fruit grows back. And so we're going to go into a series. And the title of this series is called this, The Root Cause. No matter what you are experiencing in your life right now, it is the fruit of a deeper root. Whether it is positive or whether it is negative. If you're here this morning, you have something positive going on in your life, and it's great and it's awesome, I'm telling you, you're bearing good fruit because there's a good root in your life. If you're here this morning and say, man, there's some things going on in my life, I'm ashamed of them, I'm tired of them, I don't want to be this way, I keep plucking it and trying to tear the vines down, but if you don't get the root, I'm telling you, those things grow because there's a bad root in our life. And I look at my life, there are areas of my life that I'm absolutely blessed in, and I thank God for that. It's because there's a good root. There's areas in my life that I have to struggle and have to try to guard my heart and guard my mind. But I know that because there's a root in there that I've got to get to the root. It's the root that causes the fruit. Now, John 15, verse 8 says this, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we know that God wants us to bear much fruit. We know that when we bear fruit in our lives, it brings glory to God. But sometimes we can be so focused on trying to bear the fruit instead of focusing on the root of the problem or the root of the blessing. So let me ask you some questions this morning. What is the root cause of blessing in your life? What is the root cause of the besetting sin that you deal with? What is the root cause of the bondage that's in your life? What is the root cause of losing jobs? You know, some people just wrestle to keep jobs. And it's so amazing. You talk to some folks, well, my manager didn't like me. They go to the next job. Well, my boss, he was a jerk and he just didn't like me. They go to the next job. Well, my boss, he hated me. Why? I don't know. I don't know what it is. Not my problem. He was a jerk. You know what I find? I find most of the time those were the same people who in high school got D's in classes because the teachers didn't like them or the principals didn't like them. Did you do homework? Nope. Did you pay attention in class? Nope. What'd you do? Played on my phone, took naps. I can't imagine why she wouldn't like you. Did you show up on time to your job? Some. Were you a good teammate? No, they're all idiots. I mean, that's a bad root. What's the root cause of bad relationships? Because some people get out of one and go right to another. Get out of that and go right to another. What's the root? What's the cause? What's the root of financial success? Or what's the root of financial blessing? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at there? Everything that we're experiencing in our life, positive or negative, comes from a root that is based in our hearts. And good roots are going to bear good fruit, and bad roots are going to bear bad fruit. Matthew 7:17 says, even so, every good tree or root bears good fruit, but a bad tree or root bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So every good root in my life is going to bear good fruit, and every bad root will bear bad fruit. Not most of the time, not 80%, not 90%. Everybody say it together, 100%. 1, 2, 3. 100% of the time. So what we need to do is figure out how to tear out the bad roots and not just keep picking the fruit and hoping it doesn't grow back, but actually get the root and get it out of our lives so that we can grow and become and be everything that God says we can be. But not just getting the bad fruit out. I need to learn how to nourish and how to plant and how to grow the good roots in my life. Matthew 12:33 says this, either make the tree or root good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. So I got a couple of thoughts for you this morning. One, and we're going to be basing that out of John 15, Jesus is the vine, or as we're building off of root cause, Jesus is the root. Okay, I use that term because that's the term they use in John 15. He says, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the root. And if I want to bear good fruit with my life, I have to abide with Jesus. Now, he's the vine that goes underneath the ground. How many know that the root system is often, it's not always seen. It's kind of inside the dirt. It's inside the ground. And even though I had trimmed those bushes and trimmed back those vines and I worked and sweated and did all the stuff, man stuff, like man stuff, right? And even though I did all that work, because I didn't deal with what was inside, it just grew back. It just bared more fruit. Well, Jesus is inside, isn't he? He lives in our hearts. He lives in our minds. He is the inside. He is the root. Now, the book of Isaiah has the most messianic references of any book in the Old Testament, the most prophecies about the Messiah. And I want to read you 3 or 4 scriptures here that talk about Jesus being the root, just to kind of lay a foundation for where we're going, all right? Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 10. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. What did Jesus say? I'm the vine and you are the what? Talking about Jesus. Verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, referring to Jesus. Isaiah 53:2, talking about his crucifixion. And he shall grow up before him a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Revelation 5:5, this is a good one. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loosen its 7 seals. And I love Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Well, how can he be the root and the offspring of David? Well, he's the root because he's God. He's the offspring of David because he came as flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. So not only is he the root, but he's the offspring. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is all of these things. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? So he's the root, and we can't bear good fruit without the root. Now, John 15:5, he says, for without me you can do nothing. Now listen, there's two kinds of people in the world when it comes to dealing with information. There are people who take simple things and make them very complex. And there's people who take very complex things and they break them down and make them simple. And man, I love taking things and breaking them down. I think that's just how I approach everything. Peel away the emotion, peel away personal desire, and just look and just make it small, make it simple. And I believe in that because I believe that unity is found in simplicity. And you can break down words as well, like the word discourage. The root word of the word discourage is courage. And when you add dis in front of it, it means to take from or to remove from. And so when you discourage your spouse, when you discourage your child, what you're doing is you're taking courage from them. It's an amazing thing when you start breaking stuff down, how simple it gets and how powerful it can become. So when Jesus is saying, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing's two words. No thing. You can't do anything. We think, well, I can do something. Jesus says, nope, you can't. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So with Jesus, all things. Without Jesus, nothing. Don't we need Jesus? Why is it that with him I can do everything and without him I can do nothing? Because Jesus is the root. Jesus is the vine. And the word gives us this picture of a grapevine, but when you look up the definition, it's this, a vine that produces fruit as opposed to a jungle vine. Now, I don't know, I'll get to that in a minute. We know that he's talking about a fruit-bearing vine because only fruit-bearing vines are pruned. So that's what he's talking about. You see it in John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more. Now, when I was a child, I told you, we grew up in the country. My parents owned 40 acres that butted up to 1,200 acres. And we literally would get up in the morning and we're just gone. We're gone all day. And I can remember calling my mom from the next county over because we had gone through the woods and found a creek and we would just follow the creek and all of a sudden it starts getting dark and I'm thinking, I don't know where we are. And I called my mom and I said, Mom, I'm in Cartersville. You're where? You know, and whatnot. We would just be it. We're always chasing something down the creek. We're fishing in the creeks. We're finding beaver ponds to swim in. I mean, it was just amazing stuff. Gone from dark to dark. I've told you before that I think my mom wanted someone to take me. She denies it, but she always goes, you know, I don't know what that means. But sometimes when you were walking through and you're following things out, you kind of get through brushy areas, and sometimes where the water is really good, you would have kind of these thick vine areas. And some were very strong. Some would like run up the side of a tree, and we would cut them off at the base, and we'd make sure they hold our body weight. We would run, and we would swing. Oh, we'd have a blast. We'd have so much fun. And then there's times you'd be going and you'd be walking and you would kind of go through briars and they were kind of a thistly thing where you know, you're kind of walking through, pressing through the brush and pressing through the stuff, but these things would reach up and get you. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? We used to call them a wait-a-minute bush. You're going, all of a sudden, wait a minute. And you have to pluck them all out and get them all out. I mean, it just stops you in your tracks. And it doesn't let you go forward anymore. Well, listen, what Jesus is saying is this. I am the vine in your life that produces fruit in you. I'm not the vine or the thorns that reach out and grab you and keep you from moving forward. Jesus said, I'm wanting to bear fruit in you. So Jesus is the fruit-producing vine. Number two is this. We are the branches. Look at your neighbor and say, we are the branches. John 15, 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I want to bear good fruit in my life. And when I thought about the fruit, I thought about the fruit of the Spirit. And you find this in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Well, here's what Jesus says. All of those things that you want, you desire in your life, you can't do without me. Jesus uses the word bear. He says, you can't bear fruit. And see, the problem with this type of phraseology is we read bear fruit, and this is what we think. We think it means to produce. We think that Jesus is saying you can't bear fruit, and so I can't grow fruit within myself. Well, here's the thing. We're the branches. It's the root that bears the fruit. We just carry it. Where does the fruit grow? The end of the branch, doesn't it? You realize you're the conduit of the presence and the fruit of the ministry and the fruit of Christ in your life? We're the branch that carries it. I can't produce love in my life without Jesus. John says that God is love. And so it's him in me, through me, to people. It's not me. So he says bear, we think it means to produce. To bear means to carry, like you carry a burden. So what he's saying is that you can't carry the fruit without me. Well, fruit grows on the end of the branch. So Jesus is the vine, he produces the fruit. We have to stay connected to the vine, but if we don't abide in him, we can't really even display it, can we? We bear or carry fruit for two reasons. One is to display, so that people will look at us and they will see the fruit of Christ in us. Amen? That's discipleship, learning to live like him, learning to be like him. And when they look at me, they see love. When they look at me, they see peace. When they look at me, even when I'm in crazy situations and there's things going on in my life that should try me, it should make me stress, it should make me worry, but yet I'm grounded because I'm grafted into the vine and I know where my source comes from and I know that through Christ I can do all things. So I don't have to act like the world. I don't have to react like the world. And people will look at you and go, man, there's something in you. It's Jesus in me. People carry fruit. People bear fruit for two reasons, to display it. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, love, joy, whatever it is. All of these things aren't just things. They are the person of Christ. When I'm connected to the vine, we have that within us. The second thing is this. We carry or we bear fruit to feed people. When they come into right relationship, when they come into relationship with us, they should be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. Right? Because we are bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the key here is to abide. Abide in him. Because if we abide in him, we bear fruit. Now, abide, when you start chasing down the definition of that word, it means to stay in one place for a long time. And the root foundation statement is to stay through the struggle. That's what it means to abide. To stay through the struggle. Now think about this. The people who bear fruit in their lives are the people who stay committed in their walk with God through the struggle. Not the people that serve God when it's good, but not when it's bad. People who are all for God when it's easy, but when the call of commitment comes and I got to stand up, fall away. I'll do the God thing when it costs me nothing, but when it starts costing me something, I'm not too sure. I may pass then. And this applies to every area of our lives. If you're a believer and you're married, do you stay through the struggle? Do you stay faithful in your tithe when it's financially tight? Do you stay through the struggle? We started this year with a 21-day fast, and we challenged everybody. Get into the Word, get into the Word, get into the Word. And that's one thing that I hope, whether you're here one Sunday or you're here for years and years and years, I hope you develop, because this is what I want to show you, is fall in love with the Word of God. And so we challenge everybody at the beginning of the year, get into the Word of God, read the Word of God, study the Word of God, take a couple of minutes every day, read a scripture and say, God, show me this, help me to live this Word out. How's it going? Did you get busy? Did you get too busy? You're still doing it. Did you fall away? Did you abide? Did you stay through the struggle? You see, abide is to do this, to stay through the struggle. Listen, have you ever been around people when things weren't going right for them? They just never complain. They don't whine. They just say, hey, listen, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to do everything I can do in my flesh, but I'm going to trust God to do what I can't do. I'm going to trust God to be God in this. Those people are amazing, aren't they? They encourage you just being around them. You know why? Because they're bearing good fruit. They're abiding. They're staying committed through the struggle. So Jesus is the vine. We are the branches, and the Father is the vine dresser. John 15:1, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Now, the vine dresser is kind of the owner. He's kind of the peak of the pyramid over the vineyard. And one of the things I said earlier that I hope you do, guys, is fall in love with the Word of God, because it's an incredible, incredible book. It's an incredible love gift to us from God. And I find that the more of this we have in us, the less room we have for the enemy. Now, Isaiah chapter 5, 1 through 4 says this. Now, let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. I love that. Who's the choicest vine? If you're guessing Jesus, you are good. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it, so he expected it to bring forth good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could he have done to my vineyard that I have not done it? Why then, when I expected to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. Listen, I want to show you how the scripture all fits together. Do you know that the hedge of that we have a hedge of protection around us, and that hedge is the word of God? In the book of Job, Satan comes to God, and he's saying he's been walking the earth to and fro. And God says, hey, have you considered my servant Job? In Job chapter 1, verse 10, have you not made a hedge around him? This is Satan talking to God. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and all the things that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in all the land. But here you know the story. God removed the hedge around Job, and Satan then could be afflicted, but Job abided. Job, even when he didn't understand what was going on, when he didn't understand why things were happening physically, spiritually, emotionally, all these things, wife looked at him and said, just curse God and die, Job. That's a pretty bad day. In the midst of it all, he abided and he stayed through the struggle. Isaiah 5, 6, and 7, I will lay waste to it, talking about the vineyard. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. Remember when we did the Free Indeed series? Do you remember what briars and thorns represented? The attack of the enemy. Demonic spirits, things that come and try to stir us, things that come and try to attack us, things that come and try to wear us down and lead us away. Briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more. What was rain? Rain was the blessing of God. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So here's saying this. It was the house of Israel, but here's the thing. We have been grafted into the family. So this portion of scripture is talking about the people of God. Now let's jump from the Old Testament into the New Testament, because everything that the New Testament says, you can also find in the Old Testament. It's a great book. It's an amazing book. Okay. Matthew 21, 33 to 40. Here another parable. There was a certain landowner who owns it all. God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. Who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it. He dug a wine press in it, built a tower. He leased it to vine dressers, leaders in the church to manage it. And he went away into a far country. Now, when the vintage time drew near, he sent out his servants to the vine dressers. What did God do all through the Old Testament? He sent out prophets. In the New Testament, he raised up disciples and disciples of him to send them everywhere. That's what he was doing, that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servant, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? He then again sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Now, you need to understand that this parable in Matthew 21 that Jesus is telling is 7 days before he's going to be crucified. And he's telling this story about himself. 33 years of living, 3 years in ministry, and he's entering the last week of his life. And then it says this, verse 37, then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. This is what it says in Luke 20:13. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Probably, what the definite is hopefully, they will respect him when they see him. In Mark, it says this, therefore, still having one son, his beloved. Who was the beloved? Y'all are catching on. He also sent him to them last, saying, they will respect my son. Back in Matthew, verse 38. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him, cast him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Hebrews tells us that when they killed Jesus, they took him outside of the city. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? What's he going to do to the people who don't accept his son? Let me say this. If you aren't a Christ follower, and I'm not saying if you believe in Jesus, because you can almost everybody else say, do you believe? Oh, yeah, I believe. But I mean, are you a Christ follower? Not just in word, but in deed. I want my life to reflect Christ. I want to live like him. I want to love like him. I want to be grafted into the vine so I bear fruit that is good in my life, that the world might see Christ in me. Are you a Christ follower? If you're not a Christ follower, you have a choice. The choice is this: we're going to accept the vine that the Father has sent, because the bad fruit in your life is because Jesus isn't the root of those areas. If you are a believer, we have this choice: are you going to abide through the struggle? Is it always easy? I got one person said no. I guess it's easy for the rest of them, Bob. Are you going to stay committed to the relationship to Christ no matter what you go through? You see, that's the choice that we get to make. Am I going to abide? And even through challenging times, we can show the fruit of the Spirit when we abide in him. We got to deal with the root. You got to deal with the root. But when you do, I promise you, the good root is there and it will bear good fruit in your life, and you will see Christ more and more at work in you, at work through you, and at work in the lives of those around you, because your life has influence. You got the bad. And you love the good. Amen.